Have you ever wondered what might happen if you stopped running from love and simply surrendered to it? Imagine God thinking about you right now. What emotions do you picture on the divine face? Many of us unconsciously envision disappointment, judgment, or at best, conditional approval. But what if God is actually head over heels in love with you? What if God loves you recklessly and extravagantly just as you are? Your sins neither surprising him nor reducing his love in the slightest. This radical view of divine love stands at the heart of spiritual transformation. While most religious traditions emphasize earning divine favor through discipline, good works, or adherence to law, Christianity makes the audacious claim that God's love is unconditional and initiating, a love that pursues us even when we're actively running away. Einstein once asked whether the universe is friendly, and throughout history, most people have believed it isn't. This deeply ingrained view persists even among those who intellectually accept divine love while emotionally preparing for divine punishment. The problem is that most fearful people don't recognize themselves as afraid. Fear wears many disguises: need for control, avoidance of intimacy, perfectionism, busyness, or addiction. Sometimes it has no face at all when successfully avoided through numbness. The philosopher Kierkegaard illuminated three profound insights. Fear fundamentally occurs when the human spirit fears itself. Fear often substitutes for deeper guilt, and guilt always inhibits the capacity for love. The real enemy is within, particularly those aspects we've learned to judge or suppress. We fear the strength of our emotions and attempt to shut down all feelings, which only compounds our sense of danger and disconnection. While surrender goes against our natural desire for autonomy, in response to perfect love personally known, resistance can dissolve and surrender become almost natural. Many Christians confuse obedience with surrender. Those who surrender obey, but not all who obey surrender. It's possible to obey God for all the wrong reasons, while God desires submission of heart and will, not merely behavioral compliance. Relying on willpower for spiritual growth actually reinforces our self-determination and egocentrism. Life lived with resolve and determination is life apart from surrender. Clenched-fisted doggedness maintaining the illusion of control. Willingness, by contrast, involves releasing control, symbolized by open hands that relinquish the keys to the kingdom of self. Teaching non-swimmers provided a powerful metaphor for surrender. Within an hour, spiritual directors who had never swum were snorkeling without life vests. The key wasn't skillful instruction, but that they had already grasped the spiritual principle of surrender. They trusted when told they would float, and when they let go and lay back in the water, they did. As one woman exclaimed with delight, "Nobody told me that you don't have to do anything to float." Like the Sufi story of fish anxiously searching for water while swimming in it, we often fail to see we're already surrounded by perfect love. Our panicky efforts to stay afloat paradoxically lead to sinking. Difficulties in surrender are often misdiagnosed as problems of will, leading to repeated attempts to surrender all with increasing fervor. But these are actually problems of knowing God's love, issues of the heart, not will. Christian surrender means saying yes to God's yes to me. Transformation involves change on a grand scale, far beyond small incremental shifts. Deep down, we recognize our need for this fundamental makeover, sensing the gap between our curated appearance and inner reality. The Christian journey begins with a single profound step that Jesus described through various metaphors: conversion, repentance, following him. These all invite the same response: death to the old self-kingdom and awakening to a new life surrendered to perfect love. Love becomes transformational only when received in complete vulnerability. If we attempt to earn love while simultaneously receiving it, we merely reinforce our efforts to be lovable rather than experiencing genuine transformation. This creates a peculiar paradox. We cannot truly change until we first accept ourselves exactly as we are. Most Christians settle for objective knowing of God's love, believing it as an article of faith. However, this intellectual assent isn't sufficient for deep transformation. We need contemplative knowing, experiential knowledge that moves beyond mere belief to direct personal experience. This deeper knowing becomes embodied wisdom, the only kind strong enough to cast out fear. The spiritual journey's purpose is to remake us in God's image of love, to develop hearts that beat with genuine compassion for others. Love is the acid test of spirituality. If we're not becoming more loving in tangible ways, something is wrong with our practice. When confronted with failures in love, our instinct is often to try harder through willpower alone. But this approach inevitably fails because it remains self-focused, operating from ego rather than grace. Transformation into love fundamentally shifts focus from me to an expansive awareness of the greater we. Egocentricity, our default mode of self-reference, is the mortal enemy of self-surrendering love. Living with me as life's primary reference point creates existential alienation, cutting us off not just from others, but paradoxically from our deepest self, which finds meaning only in community and connection. All psychological and spiritual problems are, at their core, impediments to love, whether through fear, trauma, pride, or misunderstanding. Love aligns us with the universe's basic design, as God's love is the cosmos' most fundamental ingredient woven into creation's fabric. Christian spirituality is not a set of beliefs or a self-improvement program, but a journey toward union with God, fundamentally a relationship. While Christians claim to experience a personal relationship with God, genuine intimacy requires time and shared experience. Like Mary, who chose to sit at Jesus' feet rather than busying herself with service, we must learn that relationship comes before activity. Union with God doesn't mean fusion or annihilation of self. Rather, I find my truest and deepest self in Christ. Like a marriage where each partner becomes more fully themselves through the relationship, union with God enhances rather than diminishes our unique identity. This union represents such fundamental alignment with God that life becomes a simple response of surrender to God's will. The journey culminates in understanding the breadth and length, height and depth of Christ's everlasting love, making this love the foundation of one's identity. Like fish swimming in water yet anxiously searching for it, we're already immersed in the perfect love we seek. The spiritual journey isn't about finding something new, but recognizing what has always surrounded us, a love so perfect, so complete, that our only reasonable response is surrender.